Selah Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Continuing our cycle of original fantasies, parables, and folk tales by Morton Wishengrad, we present now The Four Spinsters of Gimel. Featured as the narrator is Alexander Scorby, and Will Gear as the stranger.
Terrible wailing of the spinsters of Gimel. A sound to freeze the lids to the eyes. A sound to suck the marrow from the bone. A sound to set witches laughing and unnerve the strongest-minded widow. Were they? Well, we told you. The spinsters of Gimel. There was Leah.
I'm 18 and unmarried.
Unfortunate girl. There was Rachel.
I'm 20 and unmarried.
Why, the lines were practically showing on her face. There was Rebecca.
I'm 21.
A daughter of Israel unmarried at 21. A public scandal. And finally, there was Sarah.
And I'm 25.
26 and a half would be closer to the truth. A catastrophe.
Four unmarried daughters of Israel. True, they were orphans, but how could the town of Gimel permit such a thing? But first, where was Gimel?
10 miles from the border.
But where was the border?
7.5 miles on this side of the city of Dalin.
Ah, everything is clear. Except when all this took place.
Now, let's see. Uncle Lazer was born 2 weeks before Simchas Torah. And the year he was born, there was a premature frost which killed all the apple trees in Tanta Zlata's cousin's orchard.
Now, be patient. The method of calculation is somewhat less scientific than a table of logarithms and a slide rule, but the results are equally infallible. And so, the time of our story was...
The year my little brother first put on long pants.
Listen to me. Stop shouting and listen to me.
All right, listen. I'm listening.
As true as my name is Abraham, as true as joy opens up the heart, and the Bible says be fruitful and multiply, it's a disgrace to the people of Gimel.
I don't budge. Not a penny, Abraham. Not even half a penny.
But, Reb Wolf, how can these girls be married if they have no dowries to bring their husbands?
I'm a wine merchant. I'm not in the dowry business.
Reb Lion, will you help?
Yeah, why does everyone pick on me? What I want to know is who comes to people and says,
Reb Lion. Reb Lion of Gimel. Last year he made $63. Start running.
Not a solitary copper penny.
Reb Bear, will you contribute?
Your word is no.
And you'll favor me by not bringing up the subject at any future time.
Reb Fox, you're the last hope of these poor daughters of Israel.
Are they my daughters? God forbid.
Reb Fox, you're the president of the synagogue of Gimel.
I can assure you the honor never would have come to me if people had gone around saying, Reb Fox is a spendthrift, a squanderer. Personally, Abraham, these girls are nothing to you. Worry your head about something more profitable.
It is a very good deed to see young people married, especially poor young spinsters. Besides, remember the commandment to give charity.
Exactly, Abraham. Gentlemen, you see this box?
Yes.
It is the new collection box established for the repair and replacement of old and damaged synagogue books. Gentlemen, my coin.
And mine.
Two coins for me.
Charity is of great use on the judgment day.
Very foresighted, Reb Lion, but pay your fare now.
Hmm? Oh, did I forget to drop a coin in?
You didn't forget, but drop it in anyway.
Five coins for the repair of worn-out and damaged books, but not one penny for the dowries of four virtuous daughters of Israel.
Yes, seeking the Lord, Abraham. Seeking the Lord. Come, gentlemen. It's time for the weekly meeting of the Board of Trustees.
Have you ever been 18 or 20 or 21 or, heaven forbid, 26 and a half? And orphaned, undowried, and consequently unmarried? Well, then you cannot understand the constriction of the heart, the congealing of the blood, the monumental goose pimpling of the skin, and... the wailing. Oh, the terrible wailing, 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 wailing of the four desolate spinsters of Gimel. The dreadful wailing for the husband who would never say.
Now, my own mother, may she rest in peace. She knew how to cook chicken soup. That was chicken soup.
It looked very bad.
Oh, Lord God of Israel, King of the universe, give me a worthy husband. Give me a scholar to praise thy name.
In my case, O Lord, he doesn't have to be too good a scholar. Let him have a good disposition instead.
A tall man, O Lord. That is all your daughter Rebecca asks for. A man up to here. No, an inch taller. Lord, can you see the measurement?
God of Israel, it's me, Sarah. I'm not particular.
You're such foolish children. Pray for the dowries. Don't pray for husbands. When the dowries are there, the husbands will flock to you. From Gimel, from Lamed, from Dalet, from Aleph.
That means, then, that we have to pray that the four trustees of the synagogue will relent. That's what Abraham means.
They are the only four in the town of Gimel with any money. The rest of us are poverty-stricken. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, pray. Pray as you've never prayed before, that the trustees will put away the evil impulse and respond to the good impulse. Pray for the coming of the good impulse. But meanwhile, I think I'll go into the synagogue and examine the collection box for the repair and replacement of damaged and worn-out prayer books. It was exactly at this time, while the four spinsters of Gimel were praying for the ascendancy of the good impulse...
Be compassionate, O Lord. Have mercy on us.
That a mysterious stranger approached the guard stationed at the border. Almost at once, the guard suspected that this was no ordinary person. For in defiance of all the natural laws of perspective, the stranger appeared to be rather tall and imposing from a distance. But when he was close, The guard was astonished to see that he was somewhat below average height and hardly prepossessing. Moreover, his papers were in a rather disgraceful condition.
There's no age indicated. How old are you?
I don't know.
Well, the exact date isn't important. Just tell me approximately when you were born.
Like all men, I was born with Adam.
What is your business in the town of Gimel?
What is anyone's business there? The Holy One, blessed be his name, sends one man to Gimel, and a second man to Dalad, and a third to Lamad, and it's all the same.
You'll have to have a better reason.
It was a prayer which I overheard.
That puts a new face on matters. You may proceed.
Thank you very much.
Don't mention it. It's all irregular. But a man has to act on an impulse occasionally, doesn't he?
Of course. Where would people be without the good impulse? Why, I'd be nothing without the good impulse. Imagine that.
The stranger entered the town of Gimel just in time to hear a hue and cry.
Stop him! Stop Abraham! He has emptied the collection box for the repair and replacement of damaged and worn-out prayer books!
Seize him! Don't let him get away!
Forgive me, girls, but it was filled with money. I thought... It's too late now. No dowry.
What a time for the stranger to make his entrance. Don't think for a moment it was a coincidence.
Quiet, quiet! Let's take care of this in an orderly manner. If you please, everyone, a little order. Oh. The first order of business before we pass sentence on Abraham for stealing the contents of the collection box for the repair and replacement of damaged and worn-out prayer books is to hold a trial.
What is the purpose of a trial if you've already convicted him?
Huh? I beg your pardon. I don't seem to recall your face.
I'm a stranger here.
If you're a stranger, why is your voice so familiar?
I'm relieved to hear that.
Reb Fox. Do you know something?
What is it?
His voice sounds familiar to the rest of us.
Who are you?
Right now, that is for Abraham to say. Abraham, are you represented by counsel?
He's beyond counsel. He's guilty. He was caught red-handed.
Abraham, would you let me serve as your counsel?
But I never saw you before.
Does that matter? I believe in you. Do you believe in me?
Yes. Your voice, it's like a familiar friend. Whatever your name is, whoever you are, thank you. I'll appreciate it very much if you'll serve as counsel for me and for these poor spinsters whom I was trying to help.
Was it an illusion? Or had the wailing of the spinsters of Gimel changed to a less minor key, a key more of optimism than despair? The four spinsters were actually seen to smile. The four trustees, led by Reb Fox, actually seemed concerned, which of course was preposterous. But then why the new look on Abraham's face? Was this too an illusion? No. No, the stranger had already effected a subtle change in the atmosphere of Gimel.
I ask the four trustees, who apparently also constitute themselves prosecution, jury, and judges, in behalf of my client Abraham and four unmarried daughters of Israel, I ask for an adjournment.
And the most surprising thing of all was that the request was granted. And immediately the stranger announced his strategy to Abraham.
I'm generally found that I am more effective with individuals than I am with a large group. I shall see the four trustees separately. Don't lose hope now. I'm going to try Reb Bear first.
I think I'll spend the afternoon with him.
Absolutely out of the question. The money was public money. He took it for his own selfish purpose. He stole. He has to accept justice. That's all there is to it. Get up.
You're a hard man, Red Bear.
I'm a just man. I believe it. Oh. Whoa!
Why are we stopping?
Be a good fellow and hold these reins for a minute. I'm getting down.
Is something wrong?
Oh, windfall. Look what's there. At least a cord and a half of firewood. Cut, split, neatly stacked in a pile. Whoever left it here was a fool. Do me a favor, stranger. Keep a weather eye open. And if anyone sees me, yell. Yell good and loud. Now, don't forget to yell if anyone sees me.
Take it easy, Red Bear. You can't carry more than you can hold. Easy does it. Red Bear!
Red Bear, top of the woods. You're seen! You're seen!
Get up! Get up! Faster! 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 My friend, something has just occurred to me. Whoa!
What has occurred to you, Red Bear?
A thought. A rather nasty thought. I didn't see a single soul on the road. Not one. And not only was there no one there, but there was no one in the fields or the woods.
I did what you told me to do.
That's a lie. I told you to yell if I was seen. I wasn't seen.
Weren't you, Red Bear?
No, I wasn't.
Red Bear, when you took up the wood that was not yours, you were seen. You were seen by the Lord your God.
Who are you? What's your name?
I'm a stranger to you, Red Bear.
No. No, your voice is familiar. Who are you? And from where do I know you?
It doesn't matter, Red Bear. You attempted to steal some wood, and God saw your misdeed. But you have already forgotten it. Red Bear, tell me, have you forgotten Abraham's misdeed?
Tell me your name. Tell me who you are.
Not yet. You find excuses for your own misdeeds. When you find excuses for the misdeeds of your fellow men, then, Red Bear, I shall tell you my name.
There was silence. And having tested Red Bear, the stranger proceeded to test Red Lion. Since you insisted on inviting yourself to supper, go on, enjoy yourself.
Bread and salt?
That's my supper. Bread and salt and a sip of water. I'm a simple man.
Red Lion, you're a rich man.
What about it?
And you're the man who sits in judgment over Abraham. You're a humbug, Red Lion. From now on, let your supper consist of meat and wine.
What difference is it to you what I eat and drink?
A great deal of difference. If you eat meat and drink wine, when the poor man comes to you for help, you will know that he must at least have bread and salt. But if all you eat is bread and salt, when he comes to you for help, you will dismiss him and say, "Let him eat stones."
I demand to know your name. I insist on it.
When Abraham is freed, and the poor maidens are provided with a dowry, then I shall tell you, Red Lion, not before.
The stranger was not done. He came to Red Fox and said,
"You make a pretense of piety and you are proud, but the worst pride is pride in piety."
And for once, Red Fox had no ready answer, but tried instead to recall where he had heard this voice before.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Reb Bear, Reb Lion, and Reb Fox were troubled. But not Reb Wolf. Reb Wolf was quite another breed.
Tell me who you are and why you were sent here. Tell me or I'll strangle you with my own two hands.
Would you kill a man, Reb Wolf?
I could do anything in anger.
And you also sit in judgment on Abraham.
Are you going to tell me?
Not yet, Reb Wolf.
I swear. I swear I'll kill you.
Better men than you have tried to root me out. The fact that they have to try means there is hope for
them. Stop playing with me. You're someone. You're something. Who are you? Why were you sent here?
Ask the same question of yourself, Reb Wolf. Say to yourself, who am I and why have I been sent here? And by whom and for what? When you answer that question, when you are satisfied with the answer you give yourself, then, Reb Wolf, I shall tell you who I am.
The four trustees came together for the trial, and they were bruised and uneasy. The name for the stranger was so familiar and so elusive. They searched their tongues for it, and not finding it, they were exasperated. And it was simple for exasperation and frustration to find a scapegoat in Abraham.
We have reached a decision, Abraham. Is there anything you want to say to us before we announce our decision and our sentence?
I admit I took the money. However, I intended the money for the girls and not for myself. Besides, you know I plan to return it. You've got to believe that.
Is that all?
Yes, Reb Fox.
The trustees have reached a decision.
Wait.
What do you want?
I ask the indulgence of the trustees of the synagogue for a few minutes.
What for?
To tell a story.
Does it have any bearing on this case?
Listen, Reb Fox. And you also, Reb Bear. And you, Reb Wolf. And you, Reb Lion. Once in the great forest of the Lord, there was a time of sickness among the animals, and many animals were dead and dying. And so the fox, the wolf, the bear, and the lion came together and held a consultation. And the fox spoke first.
The sickness of the animals is due to only one thing. One of us has committed a sin, a great sin. Let us each confess our transgressions in order that we may know who is responsible.
And so each in turn made full confession. The bear said,
oh, last month I killed a colony of bees and stole all their honey. But I was hungry and the bees were stinging me. They had no right to sting me.
The explanation of the bear is accepted.
Then it was a turn of the wolf to confess.
I make no bones about it. I killed a man. It was him or me. I plead self-defense.
The plea is accepted.
The sin of the lion and the fox also were made known, and the explanations accepted. Finally, the sheep was brought to trial.
Your name, please?
Sheep.
First name?
Abraham Sheep.
State your transgression. Don't be nervous. We're friends of yours.
Well, the very nice shepherd who owns me had collected some hay for a mattress. But my four little lambs had nothing to eat. And so I took some hay and fed them.
Scoundrel!
Sinner!
Yeah.
You contemptible villain!
You're the animal who is responsible for the epidemic in the forest.
Death for the sheep!
The stranger's fable was finished. The faces of the four trustees had gone pale. Reb Lion coughed. Reb Fox shut his eyes. Reb Bear twisted a paper in his hand. And Reb Wolf began to perspire. Abraham and the four spinsters of Gimel leaned forward in their seats. The congregation of Gimel held its breath. They knew that the stranger had won.
Reb Fox, confess your sins to Abraham. Reb Wolf, tell the young ladies how you threatened to murder me. Reb Bear, whose was the wood you wish to steal from the road? Reb Lion, does the poor man eat stones in order to justify your pretense of piety? You are humbugs. How dare you try a fellow man? To try Abraham, you yourselves must come into court with clean hands. And your hands are soiled. Your hands are worse than soiled. Your hands are stained. Your hearts are stained. Stand up. Stand up. You who dare to sit in judgment on a kind-hearted man who borrowed money for a deed of great charity and love. Stand up.
Forgive us. We have sinned, all four of us. We have sinned.
Does he speak for you, Reb Bear?
Yes.
And for you, Reb Wolf?
Yes. And for me also.
May the God who created you bless you for your repentance. You wanted to know who I was. Look at me once again. Listen to my voice. Reb Bear, whose voice do you hear?
Yes, of course. It's my voice. And it's every man's voice. You are the voice of every man who has not yielded entirely to the evil impulse.
That's why your voice was so familiar to us. You are the good impulse that is in all of us.
The stranger had vanished. But he had not vanished. He remained with them. The good impulse that lies in the heart of all mankind. In the town of Gimel, they provided a dowry for four daughters of Israel. And so it happened in the town of Gimel that a quadruple wedding was celebrated long, long ago.
The year my little brother first put on long pants.
That a stranger came and vanished and yet never left. And a guard remained stationed at the border.
Well, I suppose there's just as much corruption and goodness in Gimel as anywhere else. It's a rotten world, God bless it.
If you would like a free copy of the script you have just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our script today was Morton Wishenbrad's fantasy, The Four Spinsters of Gimel. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman was the soloist. The narrator was Alexander Scorby, and Will Gear was featured as the stranger. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is presented each week at the same time by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. For a free copy of today's program, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.